Every night in the church's last hour of the divine office at Compline, as the night and the darkness come in, the church gives us the warning of St. Peter, "Brethren, be sober, be watchful, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about, seeking someone to devour. Whom resist ye steadfast in the faith." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This September 26th, this year, our Angel Sunday, the start of our month of the angels, is a day traditionally of struggle against Satan. That's the message of the lives of the saints whom we remember this day. And it's a struggle that's successful if you stay with your angel, even as he is sure to stay with you. The original saints of this day are called Cyprian and Justina, Middle East, 4th century. Cyprian was raised pagan by pagan parents and into the black arts and sorcery and devil worship. He made a living from it. Justina was raised Christian by Christian parents, a beautiful virgin. Some pagan young man fell in love with her and could not tempt her against virtue. So he goes to the witch, he goes to this devil worshiper for some kind of a spell or an incantation. And she defends herself successfully. St. Gregory Nazianzen says, by praying to the Virgin, her virginity was protected. And by the sign of the cross, the devil had to go. When the young man Cyprian saw that all of his efforts were useless, he realized there was someone more powerful than the devil, because there is, and that's Christ, Christ our King. So he decides he wants to leave the devil's service and become a Christian. The devil does not want to lose a paying customer, not a single one. What does he do? He reaches into his bag of tricks, and now he uses depression. He makes the man sad or depressed, and almost kind of frozen, as depression does to you. And in his distress, not knowing what to do, the young man had the sense to speak to a priest. Speak to someone about this. Speak to a priest. You'll be helped. It will make a difference. And the priest says, "My son, go to Mass." And he says, "Well, of course, I can't really go to Mass because I'm not even baptized." And he said, "You can go to the Mass of the Catechumens." What's the Mass of the Catechumens? The Mass up through the sermon, Mass of the Catechumens. In the old days, you had to leave after that if you weren't a Catholic in good standing. So he goes to the Mass of the Catechumens. This is still the era of the Panuchus, the all-night vigil of prayer. He goes into church, and he was so impressed with the silence and the reverence. He said he thought it was angels singing and praying instead of people. I thought of this phrase in connection with yesterday's Mass. We had a wedding at 11:30, and it was a very quiet affair, very reverent. And when the dear little children weren't crying, every now and again they'd take a break, and it was utterly silent in the church. What reverence, I thought. Then I thought of that article that was in the paper last Sunday, all the different ideas. Why don't people go to the Novus Ordo anymore? Why is it going down, down, down? No one talked about the real reason, because it's the Novus Ordo. That is to say, there's no reverence and there's no silence. But in our Mass, there is during the sacrifice. So he's converted by this. And he's very, very humble, and he says, "Well, just let me be the janitor." He's a very humble man. So he gets a job as the church janitor, as the porter. But because he is so humble and he is so holy, why then pretty soon he's ordained a priest. And finally, he's elected to be the bishop. So years later, he's arrested for the faith during a persecution. And so is this girl whom he had tried to drag down to vice years before, Justina. They're both led in chains to the same place. They both died together as martyrs. Now, remember, the same rules always apply. Whether we are in the Middle East, the 4th century, upstate New York or Ontario in the 17th century, or Westchester, Ohio, in the 21st century. The devil, your enemy, know him. But once you know his M.O., how he works, you'll have the beginning of fighting victoriously against him. The first of the North American martyrs to die was not a priest. He was a layman. He was a doctor, Dr. René Goupil. He was a donné, which is French for he gave himself, he donated himself literally to the missions. He was a very gentle, patient physician, as sometimes we are so fortunate to find still today, and he was a good man, he was meek. The Indians despised all of that, and they despised him for that. He was captured along with St. Isaac Jogues and some others, and they were made to run the gauntlet, left all cut up and all bloody. And Isaac Jogues was tortured terribly. Then they're enslaved. And one day this doctor, and now is a slave for some Indian family, is playing with a little boy, and he playfully, he's a toddler, about the same age as the children we bless, maybe 3 years old. And he playfully puts his cap on the baby's head, and then he makes with the baby's hand, as parents might still today, the sign of the cross, just as we're going to do over the children this morning. And because of that, the grandfather, having seen it, is infuriated. He's a devil worshiper. They hate the cross. He's afraid of it, too. And in a fury, he's let out, and he's tomahawked to death. The first of the martyrs, Saint René Goupil. He died on the feast of St. Michael the Archangel, the year 1642, an angel of innocence and of charity. This Angel Sunday, and all throughout their month, let anyone who loves Jesus and our Lord's little children, parents, I mean, and grandparents and teachers, of course, and really all of you, one way and another, including the priests and the clergy, let us all realize Satan is set on their and our destruction. We must know the enemy. We must know ourselves. We must know his tactics. We must know what weapons we may employ for our defense. It's as simple as this. The devil is the ape of God. He has his prayers. We have ours. Our sign of the cross, our sacred formula, our sacramentals, the holy water, the Saint Benedict or miraculous medals, our scapulars and rosaries and chaplets, and not only our prayers, but our reverence and our silence in prayer. The devil, he has his incantations and amulets and invocations, contracts that he has people sign with him, the lies that he tells and repeats again and again. He has his signs. He has people, don't you be of them, who use their fingers and their hands to make signs. He has his water. Indians wisely called it fire water. It makes a man mad and makes you to commit sins you never would if you were sober. He has his noise, his lies, but his noise. He has his own music, and he plays it all the time for that same purpose of leading into sin. Christians have their discipline, detachment from the goods of this world, attachment to God, the spirit of the cross, of sacrifice, fasting, watching, vigils, every kind of offering up. The devil has his. His votaries discipline themselves. They stint themselves of sleep. This coming Friday night, when some of you will be watching before the Blessed Sacrament in the wee hours of the morning, everybody else is going to be out there sinning at the same time. The devil and his followers are stoic about what they offer up, and they usually don't even complain. They ruin their lives and their health and their souls, but not a word of complaint would ever pass their lips. Ah, if only it were the same thing for Christians. There's only one thing in which the devil will not imitate God, and that comes down to purity, of modesty, innocence, virginity. For the devil, there's no compromise there. There's no purity. It doesn't exist for him. Just as you begin with little children to teach them the sanctity of the body and holy purity, the imitation of the angelic virtue with Our Lady's help, so too the devil starts with very little children. Like that poor woman in the paper the other day. Imagine that 2-year-old child, her own baby, she was had taught how to smoke marijuana and even took a picture of it. That's the world. Or little children who are left unsupervised to watch the filth on TV day after day and night after night. That's the world. There's no innocence. There's no respect for children anymore. There's only license and lust and that false liberty. Pretty much describes our world, which is saturated in sin. Not only down to dusk, but all night long. Impurity is our entertainment. Impurity is our talk. Impurity is how we do our commerce, how we sell things. It's enough to make an Indian, a red face, blush. But everyone's lost their sense of shame today. The devil has his demons too. Sometimes the Jesuit martyr said, each Indian seemed to have his own demon, one devil, an obsession technically, to watch over them. Just as we have, all of us, a guardian angel to watch over us. Let me conclude by telling you about one of the priests who died. Charles Garnier was his name. He had a great devotion to the angels, and he had the grace very often to be accompanied by one visibly, so that when he would go to someone who was dying, a poor savage, the Indian would see his guardian angel as a big, beautiful, bright young man. And because of that, he was able to make ever so many converts. He finally died as a martyr, but not without showing a tremendous amount of humility and prudence and charity. They said of him, you could say it of any saint, he knew how to excuse everything and bear everything without being in the least way lax. The devil doesn't really like purity, but you know what? He can work with it if he has to. Remember the story of the Jansenist nuns at Port Royal? They said of them, they were pure as angels and proud as devils. The one thing the devil cannot bear in children or in adults is humility. He can't take it. That just drives him away. If you're humble. It is humility, the living of the Holy Cross and the imitation of the angels and the saints and their queen. It's humility that's the most powerful exorcism of all. Know yourself. Know the devil. Know what he's up to. Know that you've got an angel with you at all times. Question: how are angels said to be like dogs? They're as loyal and as loving to you, and they'll stick right to your side like a loyal animal. And more than that, angels will always come when they are called. Call upon your angel today. Let him stay by your side. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost.